Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show. On most weekdays at 6:30, 8 o'clock, or 9:30, sometimes 11, and on weekends at times at 11 o'clock or before, sometimes at 8, it's on the button. And we talk about various things in this show. We talk about linguist literature, and Russian literature, and French literature, and American literature. We also talk about theology and in the Bible and biblical belief. I am a Christian, and I have an MD degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I adhere to the Christian thought system entirely. And I am, the show is, let me give you a little of the background of the show. I also talk about political topics at times. I touch on that. I'm not interested in politics exactly. I'm interested in getting at the truth. But let me just give you a little background about my background so you can understand where I'm coming from on this show. Tonight, we will be talking about prayer and petition. And we're going to handle this. It's a very difficult topic because we all are challenged to know why we have to pray to a God that knows the answer already, for example, that knows what we have to say. That's given us his answer. But that's one issue. And but let me say that this is a politically incorrect show. It's a political, not a show of media lies and media falsehoods and media falsehoods, but it's a show which gets at truth and facts and honest discernment. It's attempting to get by critical thinking to get at the facts and truth. And this thinking, I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, has to be through the agency of great books. It is not possible to engage in any kind of in-depth or valid thinking based on a television screen or computer screen. As Mortimer Adler said in his very great book, How to Read a Book, a screen is a drug. It is not a means of knowledge. It is a drug. And I personally don't want to pretend to learn things through what Mortimer Adler wrote in 1940 in his great book, How to Read a Book. He said it was a drug. And also he said one other thing in that book, a very, very important statement. He said the Bible was the foundation of Western thought. A controversial statement today that would be an outrage for many sectors of society, but he stated the truth, a very perceptive and deep thought in both instances. Okay, now I'm going to say I am a Christian and I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I believe in the ancient creeds of the Church, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. I adhere to these statements of faith, these ancient statements of faith. They're valid, they're true, and they state the Christian position on most issues. If I get to read a book, I'll try to read C.S. Lewis. I'll try to read G.K. Chesterton. I'll try to read T.S. Eliot, Augustine, and most of all, the Epistles of Paul, which are the most profound statements of religious thought you can find in the world. And not to read these books is to be cheated. It is to be deprived. It is to be without the truth or the means of truth. The person who hasn't read these books is in a state of intellectual loss and deprivation. Next, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and these are Christian shows, and over 4,500 people have visited the podcast show over the years, and many people from China and Muslim countries have visited these shows, I'm happy to say. Particularly the blog talk radio show has been visited by people from Saudi Arabia and Malaysia, India, Bangladesh, etc., which is also true of the podcast show. I'm extremely happy that my many neighbors are prepared to share my Christian thinking and not reject it, but at least take a look at it. So, my Muslim brothers and sisters, I welcome you. I welcome all faiths, all points of view, all opinions, all ideas. It's the only way we can get at the truth, by hearing differing opinions and thoughts and ideas. Next, I have written 10 books. Christian books and legal books. The Christian books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, an interpretation book of the parables of all 41 parables of Jesus in the Bible, in the Gospels. I think it's a helpful book. I've also written two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. And I've just written, I think, a fairly valuable book, an interpretation of the 150 Psalms in the Bible. For me, the Psalms, as John Donne said of the Bible, the great English poet, he said the Psalms are the manna of the church. They are the greatest lyric poetry you can find. They state the most profundity of religious belief that you can find. They are the voice of Christ and the voice of God as God speaks to us in the Psalms. For me, I can never stop reading the Psalms. I can never stop absorbing them. Their greatness is so great that in any translation, their greatness comes across. I challenge you to read War and Peace and a Greek play by Euripides in translation, and then read the Psalms in translation, and you'll find which is more compelling. I guarantee it will be the Psalms. Next, I have planned other books, a book on the miracles and a book on the sayings of Christ and a book on criminal trial hearings, a law book. I have that in its beginnings of that book. And I also have the beginning of the book of a book on miracles in the Bible. And I plan to write, this is going to be a most enjoyable task, a book on interpreting the book of Job. Job was not Jewish. He's in the Hebrew Bible. And he was thought to be Greek or come from a Greek background. And the book of Job is in the form of a Greek play. It's a fascinating book. It's a great book. It's well worth reading. And I plan to write about it and have things to say about it. I've written over 800 blogs and essays. These essays are available on academia.edu on my website and on social media. And they are political blogs. Their topics are political, theological, religious, and current events, and literary issues. I also have written three major journal articles on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review, which has been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. I've also published two articles in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, on the United States educational system on sexual orientation discrimination, again bought by the State Department, and many other. And these journal articles have been bought by many, many European libraries and all kinds of libraries across the world, I'm pleased to say. Now, I'm going to talk a little about prayer. Now, let me say this about prayer. We are told by Jesus to pray. He even gave us a prayer, which he called the Lord's Prayer, as a guide to what we should say. And since its inception some 2,000 years ago to this great day, Christianity has been a praying faith. Christians have been instructed to pray not only in their churches, but in their homes. We are told to pray constantly and regularly as a means to know God in Christ. However, I have to say this, and this is the issue about prayer, I think, the issue that makes it difficult to know why we should pray, when God, who exists in eternity, he has heard all the prayers of all men and women from the beginning of time to the end of time. He knows the prayer before it is spoken, and he knows the answer. And yet he still commands us to pray. So what's the sense of this, ladies and gentlemen? Why this command to pray when he has heard all the prayers of all men and women? Hello? Yeah, I'm on the telephone right now. I'll call you back, okay? Right, bye. Right, bye. So, question is, why pray? He knows the answer. He's given it already. He knows the prayer of all of us before it's even said, from the beginning of time, of all men and women, to the end of time. He knows the answers. Yet he still commands us to pray. Why does this? Question is, I put it to you, my friends and ladies and gentlemen, why does this powerful, eternal, omnipotent being who seems to be saying to us he wants to be praised? It's very questionable. Why does this omnipotent, eternal being want us to pray and praise him? Is God some sort of Santa Claus who gives out his gifts to his select favorites who ask him with sufficient effort? Is he some sort of egomaniac and so insecure that he requires to be praised? Yeah, well, it looks that way, doesn't it? Why does this powerful, omnipotent being want people to pray when he knows the answer? He knows he knows the prayer before it is said. He knows everything from the beginning of time to the end. Why does he tell us to pray? And why does this all-powerful being seem to be want to be praised and prayed to? Like a child, is God in Christ some sort of Santa Claus who gives out his gifts to his favorites who ask him with sufficient effort? Is he some sort of egomaniac and so insecure that he requires to be praised? Does he want us to constantly pray to him so we can get what we want? Is he some sort of Santa Claus? Is he some sort of egomaniac and so insecure that he wants to be praised and prayed to? I have an answer for these questions, a tentative answer. It's, you know, only an answer that I can give as a result of my thought processes, which are limited and not so big. But the answer lies in our relationship to God, or in the nature of a relationship. God wishes, and Christ wants us to communicate with him. He wants relationships with people. Or you might put it more exactly, and this is hard to grasp, that an eternal being who created men and women wants to have friends with people. But that's a relationship that he wants. He wants a relationship with us. It's not that he wants to be praised, that he wants us to pray and get things and ask things. That's not the issue. The issue lies in our relationship to Jesus or God as it has come to us in Christ. He wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to be one with him in a relationship. Or he wants relationships with his creatures, with his creation. He wants to share himself and his undying and infinite love with us as his sons and daughters. So that's the reason for prayer. It's not that God is trying to give us things or we're trying to get things. He wants a relationship with us. And that relationship is based on undying and infinite love with us as his creation. Or maybe more simply put, he wants relationship with his creatures, or simply wants friends. So the necessity, the command to pray, lies in a relationship. It lies in God's wanting to exchange love with his creatures. He wants to share with us. In prayer, he wants us to relate to him, to give him love, and in turn be enfolded by his love. When we pray for some little time, we become the kind of persons in Christ we're capable of being. When we pray, we attach ourselves to the risen Christ, unable to share his love and be reborn and remade in his image. When we pray, we rise up to the risen Christ and share his being and love and are remade, born in his image. We rise above our limited selves in time and become the love that we are capable of giving and receiving in God and Christ. So what about the answer to the prayer, to our petition? It may not be the answer we want, and we don't always know what is the purpose of praying and petitioning, although I'm suggesting it has its foundation in a relationship of love with Christ and God. But this much I can say about prayer, it's not so much as getting answers or giving answers or getting things. It's the fact that without communication, there is no relationship. God wants relationships. He wants communication. He wants us to share our love with him and his love with us. He wants us as friends. He sent his only begotten son to a twisted and degraded and humanity in order to have relationships with us and share. So the prayer has its basis in love and a relationship and sharing. When we pray, we grow in our relationship with Christ, and we communicate, and Christ shares his love, and we share our love with him. And you have to say this, ladies and gentlemen, Christ wants to share his love, which is why he wants us to pray, but he doesn't want us to pray by force. He doesn't impose force on us in his relationship. There's no force or compulsion, since relationships by force are not relationships at all. So he doesn't make us pray to him, but he wants us to. He wants us to communicate. He wants to share his love and share our love with him. Because without communication, without prayer, without communication, there is no relationship. It's not possible. It's only with communication, in this instance prayer, that a relationship is possible. And prayer, again, a relationship is not by force. It's not by compulsion. And prayer is the key to prayer is it is voluntary. It is a voluntary reaching out to God and God reaching out to us. It is love and a relationship. That is what prayer is. It's communication. It's relationship. It's love. It's not about asking for things, getting things, wanting things, trying to get things. It's none of those things. God wants to know us and to love us in prayer. And he wants that relationship on a constant basis. And by the way, let me say this, that no relationship can be by force. No woman can love a man who raped her or the child love the parent who abuses him or her. Prayer is the catalyst and mode of friendship relationship with God and Christ. Prayer is relationship. It is love. It is sharing. It is growth. It is our rising to be the sort of person we can be and are capable of. That's what I think prayer is. It's not about getting things. It's not about petitioning. It's not about gaining things. It's not even about praising. God isn't some sort of Santa Claus that needs to be praised, but he wants us to communicate with him. And that communication is very important to him, which is why prayer is the key to knowing God in Christ. It is the key because it forms the relationship that we are capable of. I wrote about this in my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, on pages 40 and 41. I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk tonight. And tomorrow night I will be talking later in the evening because I have another engagement on the radio earlier that day at 7 o'clock. But I'll be talking about something else helpful and good at about 9:30 tomorrow or somewhat past 8. I hope you've enjoyed these little talks, and I hope they've been beneficial and that they have shed some light on the nature of the Christian faith and what it's all about. Thank you very much.